second and last, 78. Parsons, 99, almost 100. But you know, that's wonderful to live that old. But you know what? When we go on the other side, we're going to be over there a whole lot longer than that. It's eternity. 100 years isn't anything compared to eternity. So we're going to heaven one day if we're saved. Hope we're ready to go there. And if you're not, I hope you make plans to get it settled today. Any prayer requests today before we go to the Lord in prayer? Anybody in the congregation, prayer request?
Thank you.
Sing the Battle Hymn of the Baptist as I shall not be moved.
Amen.
241 in your brown book. And we'll sing, let's see here. Find it here. 241. We're going to sing the first and the second. We're going to fellowship. Come back on the last as we stand and sing.
I'm not afraid.
Caleb has been watching, Brother Buddy. Your job is done. He's over there leading that. He's going to learn to get that thing down. When he gets the timing down for 3-4 and 4-4, it's been nice knowing him. Yeah, that's right. Take some time in fellowship, okay? Bringing any bags in today.
Facebook this afternoon.
If you ain't looking for one for life.
Somebody help you since this is her last Sunday?
She gets to sing this afternoon. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious while leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say.
Song says, have we? Have we said that we love him? I think that's where we mess up. Hallelujah. Song that says, I love him, he is sometimes it's good just let him come on in. sometimes the Lord likes to play. Let's go to the edge of the cliff game. He doesn't always do things 3 or 4 months in advance. Food over there, so it's not like we're in a hurry. It's salad, so it's not going to ruin. Whew. Well, if the Lord hadn't told you we'd sing for that revival, that's one of y'all singing for revival. I told the Lord. I'm sure not like I should. To the book of Genesis, chapter 21. You know, you don't have to say much, do you? Sometimes it's just good to just get up and just thank the Lord. Tell Him you love Him. Hallelujah. I'm so convinced that's where we make our mistakes as Christians. We don't tell Him enough. Think about something. If you told your spouse as often as you told the Lord that you love them, would you still be married? God will put up with it. Human beings don't. Thank you for that song, Sister Jesus. Genesis 21, we're going to begin reading with the first 8 verses, and we're going to talk about some thoughts on the birth of Isaac. We finally come after all these weeks looking at the life of Abraham. Now we're going to see the birth of Isaac and some interesting things. I want to share with you 4 thoughts that I see in 8 verses concerning the birth of Isaac. Verse 1 reads this way, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." Now, something that I thought was interesting as I read this passage of Scripture is how very matter-of-fact the Holy Spirit directs the writer of Genesis to mention and to describe the birth of Isaac. As a matter of fact, it seems like there is a repetition that takes place here. But I think that there are some principles that are being put forth here. I want to show you 4 principles that I think is talked about in these 8 verses. And I'm going to start every one of those 4 principles with this statement, God always. Now I want you to think about that word always. Do you always, have you ever heard people say, okay, let me give you an example. Home that has, let's say, 3 children in it, and you are talking to the middle child. And the middle child might say this when they're grown. They might say, you know,
my mama and daddy all gave everything to the little one that they did. Heard that kind of talk? It doesn't have to be that scenario, but somewhere people love to use the word always. And there's one little problem with that. It's never true. Always is never true. Because if there's anything about human nature, we are inconsistent. And there, the very fact, let's go back to that statement. And they say, all right, well, when I was growing up, my younger brother or my younger sister always got everything they wanted. Mom and daddy can't give everything that that child needs. But we use blanket statements when we describe things, you know. You get mad at somebody and you say, well, you always do that. No, they don't. But we say that. We say, well, she always loses her temper. You can't rationalize with him. You can't talk to him because he always thinks he's right. Everybody else is wrong. I've heard those kind of statements. But it's not true. It can't be true. It's impossible. It's impossible for that word always to be used effectively and consistently with human beings. But when you're talking about God, God always can do certain things. First principle I want to show you. First thought on the birth of Isaac. God always keeps His word. God always gives. Now, I want you to look at something. Look at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah. What's the next four words say? Read it. As He had said. I got news for you. God says it. It's on the table, bud. God says something. Mark her down. It's going to happen. God always keeps His word. All right, look at the same verse. And the Lord did unto Sarah, say the next four words with me, as He had spoken. Look at verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time, notice this, of which God had, say the next three words with me, spoken to him. Two verses, three times. God said it. Ever heard this statement? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No. God settled it. Whether I believe it or not is irrelevant. And so He said it. Okay. Look at verse 4. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old. Notice this phrase. Read this phrase with me. As God had commanded him. This is all verbal. Okay. God always keeps His word. Now, you say, preacher, why is that important? Because there are some times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that I don't always think God keeps His word. See, it is very common for you and me as human beings to always look at bad things. We look, you know, optimism is when you look at things, you look at a glass of water as being half full if you're an optimist. If you're a pessimist, the glass is half empty. Okay? And there are many of us whose makeup is either that of primarily an optimist or primarily a pessimist. There are people who are very positive in life. There are people who are very negative in life. Thomas, in the Bible, was a pessimist because when he got time, they were in the boat, and they were getting ready to go back to be with Jesus, he said, oh, let us go that we may die with Him. That's rather pessimistic, isn't it? But then you had people like Peter. Peter said, all right, Lord, I'll walk on the water. Nobody else would. Somebody says, well, Peter did a bad job, didn't he? Well, he walked a whole lot farther than any of us did, so I'm not going to criticize Peter. Okay? So there's always the eternal optimist, the eternal pessimist. Okay? And so there are times in which you and I, that we wonder and we question, God, can you bring me out of this situation? Can you take care of this? What do we do? And there are times where we can't explain it. Okay? You know, yesterday they told us at the funeral, we were at the graveside, and the director of my uncle's funeral made the statement. He said to the people, he said, if you would like to stay and wait for the body to be placed into the ground and covered up, you're welcome to do so, but he said, one of the dignitaries in Martinsville has passed away. The funeral is today. They're coming. There are going to be 200 cars. And he wasn't. And I got to ask him a question. I said, well, who was it? And they explained to me who it was. He was one of the big town leaders. But you know how old he was? He was 53 years old. I just turned 53. And he died of cancer. Death is no respecter of persons. Here we are, my uncle's 93 years of age, and you expect somebody in their 90s not to live much longer, but hey, 53 is too close for me. And there are people that do live to be ripe old ages, like my uncle did, and my sister and brother, my brother-in-law's father's 95 years of age. He's got a pretty decent mind about it. But then you have something like this where here's a man that is a leader in the city of Martinsville as far as the government is concerned. He's 53 and died of a heart of cancer. And I look at those and I can't figure that out. I don't understand why some people live to be ripe old ages and some people don't even live past their 20s. I don't understand. That leads me to start having conflict. Because then when difficulties come into my life, then it's like, Lord, what am I going to do? Are you going to bring me out of this? And you begin to wonder. You begin to question. And you say, that's wrong. It is wrong, but it's part of the human makeup. Don't be too terribly hard on yourself when you get like that, because everybody else that's ever lived in the same place you have on that thing. Now, what do I do when I get into situations like that? I have to go back to this principle. I have to look at the Word of God. The Bible said that the Lord visited Sarah as He said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Verse 2, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Verse 4, as God had commanded him. Do you in your reading of the Word of God, do you have a marker? Or do you have, you can get, if you'd like to see it, I gave my wife a pen. And it's a pen where you can, and I took her pen and made some notes in my Bible for this sermon. And those pens, they don't bleed. Because I've got this Bible, I've had this Bible for 20-some years. And you can go through and look at my notes and you can see where things have bled through. That's messy. But now you can get pens where you can take notes and you can do it. It won't bleed through your paper. Okay, so if you've got a relatively new Bible, you need to get one. You can go down to Hobby Lobby and get these pens that I'm talking about. Okay? Real expensive, but it's worth it. But anyway, have you ever sometimes take a highlighter or a pen? Or you can even get sort of like a little crayon that you can use different colors in your space, made especially for that. Have you ever just found a promise? And then, have you ever had to go back to it? Have you ever got, let's go to the obvious. Have you ever had a bill? You didn't know if that bill could be paid, and so you said, now Lord, my God, shall supply all. Lord, you said all. Your needs. Lord, I'm not buying a Cadillac. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You said that, Lord. You said it. I have to believe it. Amen. He said in the Psalms, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. May I say to you that if we do so reverently and respectfully, God is pleased when we take His word and remind Him of what He said. We don't come before Him in anger. We don't come before Him with disrespect. We say, Lord, I'd like to claim. You know, we used to say that, didn't we? I want to claim this word. Lord, I have a burden. And have you ever been reading your Bible and God takes a verse that's beforehand meant nothing to you and it jumps out at you? Just grabs you by the throat? Okay. And before I'd read the verse, it didn't mean a thing. But then I'm reading something and it's like, wow. We get looking at does not the Bible say this, that the promises of God are yea and nay, which means if God says it, it's black and white. God said, this is so, this can be possible, this is not possible. There are some things that you don't have to pray about. There is, if you've never seen it. By the way, I've had some folks that have made mention of something, and I think it's a good idea about maybe trying to have like Christian movie night here in the church. Maybe at the fellowship hall. If we do that, I don't know if you'd like to see this or not, but there is the most wonderful movie. Bob Jones, some of you may have seen Bob Jones put this out some years ago. It's called Sheffy. Has anybody ever seen Sheffy? Oh, my goodness. Can't watch that movie without getting under permission. There's a point in which Sheffy, who was an old mountain circuit riding preacher, and he has this horse. This horse is his family. And he's riding down and he meets a family. And the family's horse has died. They're traveling across the country or whatever. And Sheffy is known because he has a sheep or a lamb skin. And it was given to him, and I won't tell behind that because that's part of the plot. So he goes and he says, well, let me get my lambskin, the sheepskin, let me go pray. And he gets down to pray, and he stops, and he says this. He said, I can't pray. And get this.
He said, I can't pray. He said, the reason I can't pray is God's already answered the prayer. And with tears, he goes over to his horse. And he takes the horse and puts the horse in the harness. And I mean, he loved that horse. That horse's name was Gideon. And he loved that horse. That horse was his family. And he cried. But he said, God will not let me pray because the prayer is answered. And the family takes off. Well, he makes it back to town, toting his saddle and everything that he's got. When he gets there, they said, preacher, what's going on? He said, well, he said, I don't have Gideon anymore. He said, it's all right, preacher, we'll get you a horse. And they went and got him a brand new horse, and he said, I'm going to call you Gideon also. Now see, we pray things and we say, now I want you to understand what I'm saying. This is very important. We get a grip on this. God will not answer your prayers if He's already made the provision for the answer to the prayer. Does that make any sense? He didn't answer the prayer for a new horse. A horse was there. There was the answer to prayer. See? It's irrelevant that it was his horse. Because what he was going to do was go pray that God would send another horse. But God said, no, there's the horse. You're going to give your horse. I've provided the answer to prayer.
There may be,
I want you to get a grip on this, understand this. You may be praying about something that God's already provided the answer to your prayer, you just don't see it.
It may be right in front of your face. Say, well, Lord, I need this to be done. All right, look around and make sure. Because it's like, I've been praying for months. Maybe it's been right in front of you and it's been in a different situation and God says it's right here. You better open your eyes and look. I know there are times where we come to the end of our rope and we pray and we have looked and there is no answer to prayer, as I've already said with the story of Sheffy. But whatever it is, the devil comes and says, hey, God's not going to come through for you and this and that and the other thing. But you know what? Look at four different times in eight verses. God always keeps His Word.
Now let's look at a second principle. Second thought. God always works beyond the natural. God always works beyond the natural. How old is she?
90.
10 years difference. He's 100. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived. You see, this is what I meant a few minutes ago, how specific the Word of God is right here in this passage. Look how very definite. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare a son in his old age. See that? That's as specific as you're going to get. God always works beyond the natural.
Let's go back to what we said a few minutes ago. How many times in your life have you walked up to that wonderful mailbox? Opened it up, there's a letter. Somebody said, God told me to send you X amount of money. But many people experience that. Somebody comes to you and they say, okay, and you're shaking hands and somebody puts a piece of money in your hand. Or, whatever. But however you want to say that need is, whatever it may be in your life, you get a phone call. You need something to be taken care of. Somebody calls up and you find out that when they called you, they have the way to take care of a particular need that you may say need to have done at your home or something, I don't know, and God makes that provision. Can you explain it? Is there any way on the green earth of God you can explain any of that? Why? Because God works beyond the natural. It is supernatural that a 90-year-old woman is bearing a child. That a 90-year-old woman was so beautiful that they passed through the land of Gerar, and she is so beautiful at 90 years of age that the king of Gerar wants to marry her. God works beyond the natural. There is nothing too impossible for God. But do you know how you know that? Go back to principle one. God always does what He says. Because if He does not do what He says, He is a liar. And Titus 1 and verse 2 says, God that cannot lie. So what am I doing? Verse, 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 verse. God is doing what He said He will do. Will He do it? He always will. Why? Because His integrity is good. You know,
know people who have a bad name? A Christian should not have a bad name. Preachers should not have a bad name. I know too many preachers have a bad name. I'm not talking about something frivolous. I'm talking about some major bad stuff.
Ought not be that way.
God will not put His name on the line to have it besmirched. God, there are two things that God elevates. The Bible said God has elevated His word above His name, but notice that's still a high level. Because if the word's not right, His name's not going to be worth anything.
But is His word worth everything? Absolutely. Is His name worth everything? Absolutely. God always works beyond the natural. Why? Third thought. God always receives glory for what He has done. God always receives glory for what He has done. God will not share His glory with anybody.
All right, let's prove that. Let's prove that.
Verse 5 talks about Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that will hear me will laugh with me. By the way, do you know what Isaac means? The word Isaac means laughter.
What it means. It's the root of it. And if you go back and study our chapters we've been studying the last few months on the life of Abraham, you will see that word laugh come up several times. Why were they laughing? She's past childbearing years. He's an old codger. Wouldn't you laugh?
Virgin birth ain't going to happen for a few more centuries.
So here you got God saying to this old man and this old woman, but the
thing is, when the promise actually came, they were still around in their 60s, early 70s. But that's still past childbearing years. Now, it may not have been for Abraham, but it was for her. I don't know how many of you remember an old-time actor he was on. Do you remember that show, The Odd Couple? Do you ever watch that show years ago? Some of us older folks might have. Do you remember an actor named Tony Randall? I don't know if you knew this or not. Tony was in his 80s when he died, but he married this young girl. I don't know how old she was. And he had a child by her. He was in his 80s, and he had a child by this woman. I don't know how old the child lived before Tony died. I don't know if she got past, if she was up to maybe 5 years old when he died. You say, wow, 80 years of age. But she wasn't. She was in her 20s or 30s. Still, that's awesome that he had the ability to do it, but it still wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the fact that she was young and she was able to bear children.
Yes, the miracle is Abraham, but it's far more the miracle of Sarah. And Sarah looks at all this and said, man, when they told me, I laughed. But see, did you notice this phrase? She said, God hath made me to laugh in verse 6, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So what's she going to say? She said, I couldn't do it. You know I couldn't do it. We'll all laugh about it. Who did it? God did it! Somebody said, how'd that happen in your life? And God did it. I never said a word this morning, and several of you raised up and gave a testimony. Because God Spirit of the Lord spoke to your heart and showed you something, in essence, this is what you said: God did it! Boy, when he plucks the cord of your heart, you get stirred up because God's Spirit moves on you, and you understand, and God brings your mind back to something, and you rejoice because of what God does, man, that'll give you Holy Ghost goosebumps. Because God always receives glory for anything He does, because the way He makes it, you'll never be able to take credit for it. They couldn't take credit for this. There was no way in the world they could take credit for this. The economy of our nation is in a mess. Many of you are hurting financially. Everybody in here. No doubt in the world. We all are hurting financially. But may I say this to you in the midst of every one of us hurting financially? We haven't gone under yet. You say, but preacher, it's been close, but you haven't gone under yet. I don't know how I can make it. But you haven't gone under yet. You know why? Because God will bring you through, and you know anything you say to God. Some of you didn't know how you got your bills paid last month. But you got them paid. God did it! No other explanation. He is not going to let you have glory. He's going to do it. And when He does it, do you see it when it happens? And if you see it when it happens, do you immediately give glory to God for it? Don't tell me you could experience those wonderful blessings and miracles of God and not know it. As the Lord swept over earlier in the service, as we heard the song and listened to the words of the song, many of us had to raise our hands to God. You know why? Because He did it! We give Him praise because He did it! I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Man can't do it. God did it!
Dr. Seitler used to preach that sermon, "Can God Make a Table in the Wilderness?" And he preached, "God can!" God always receives glory for what He's doing. And lastly, God always keeps His word. That's the first one. God always works behind the natural. Thirdly, God always receives glory for what He has done. And the last thing, number four, God always answers prayer. All right, let's look at the scenario. Two old people. Past the years of childbearing. The promise is there. Something like 25, 26 years they've heard this. Do they get discouraged? Sure. Does Sarah get discouraged? Sure. You know the story of Hagar? Yes, she got discouraged. Were they human? Yes. Then we have in chapter 21 a reality, a birth. Not only is there a birth, there is an actual physical being to associate with that birth. How can you argue?
Somebody said, "I have heard this story for a long time that God was going to visit Abraham and Sarah." Did you ever hear such a joke in your life? Abraham and Sarah are old. They can't have children. This is ridiculous. wonder what they said when 90-year-old Sarah is sticking out here. Did you ever think about back when King of Gerar was there? Did you ever think about that? She was pregnant and showing him she was still a beautiful woman. 90 years old? Then they say, guess what? The due date's going to be such and such time. And then she starts moaning and groaning, and the midwives take her in, and they're waiting outside the tent. Abraham's waiting outside the tent, and then they hear something go. Wah! Listen. Somebody slap Sarah? No, it's like a baby. Baby what? Remember that old show? I love that old show. What is it? Christmas, on, not the Year Without Santa Claus. But Santa Claus is coming to town. You ever seen that little show? And they got the little elves, and they find the baby. Remember that? And they say, what kind of baby is it? It's a baby baby. And they bring the baby out, and they said, wow, that's a baby. What'd you expect? It's a baby. Yeah, but she's 90 years old. I know. He's a baby. You sure it's a baby? It's a baby. Hold the baby and see what happens. You want to hold? It's a boy, baby. You want to see what happens? You're going to look at something. When you look at it, you're going to say, God, it might be a bank statement that says paid in full. It may be someone in your family you've been praying for that's saved. Every time you see it, you see the difference in their life. God always answers prayer. When He answers prayer, now you understand, He does answer prayer, yes, no, wait. There are times where He will not answer prayer, but that's still an answer to prayer. Because if He chooses not to answer prayer, it's your answer. He will not answer that prayer. But there are times where He will answer that prayer. There are times where you've got to wait on Him to answer that prayer. That's hard. But when you see something, you think, wow, there's my needed a vehicle. Needed a good car. My car's old and it's falling apart. What am I going to do? And God makes a way that you can have a car. When you step out the door of your house, you look and you say, there is an answer to prayer. You have a problem at your house, something pertaining to the roof, or something like that, or as poor old Miss Nancy has been going through the years with that water situation, whatever that is in your life, but you know what, somewhere down the line, God sends somebody, and gets taken care of, and gets straightened out, and then you go back, you look at that water fountain, and say, He answers the prayer. God will use visual things to remind you. Because notice that 8th verse, and we'll close. The 8th verse says, and the child grew and was weaned. There's your answer to prayer. The child grew. The child did not die. The child was not a figment of their imagination. The child grew. Visible answer to prayer. God always keeps His word. God always works beyond the natural. God always receives glory for what He has done. And God always answers prayer and provides evidence of it. You say, but what if He doesn't answer my prayer? There is still the evidence of nothing there. That's still an evidence.
I'll always have an evidence to show the answers. Let's back up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to come together today. Thank you that you visited with us. Thank you that our hearts were touched as Sister Teresa followed the Lord, followed your leadership, and sang the song that just touched our hearts today. Have we said lately that we love you? I'm sorry that we don't as often as we should be. Have we said you're faithful? You are faithful. You sure saw that this morning in the life of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. You're faithful. Strengthen us, help us to believe and understand these thoughts today on the life and birth of Isaac. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you aren't saved, I hope you come down, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. There's a burden on your heart today. The only thing I can tell you is go to your knees and pray. Lift it before Him. All I'm telling you. As we stand and sing, we'll pray. Hymn number, whatever. As we stand. Together afterwards for Miss Holly. Miss Holly's going back to college. Isn't it hard to believe? Seems like she just got here. We pray for Brother Beagle. I know how the daddy syndrome is. I'm doing a little bit better with it. But sometimes I just want to just kind of, you know, knock Jason out, take her back. But it doesn't always work that way. It's illegal. Thought about it. Can't do it. So anyway, but now you see, you haven't let them get hitched yet, so. But that college stuff's tough. All right, we're gonna have the dinner in just a little bit, and we're gonna have an afternoon service. So we need to come back in here because I know Brother Julius is recording and things, so we need to come back in here for that. So. We'll just tell you, you know, okay, let's everybody head back to the auditorium. And, so keep that in mind for us. And in Bible school, please don't forget. Be in prayer. Invite. Let's have. I'm looking forward to a group. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm gonna get baptized. I should say let's have a bad day, but I'm not. I want us to have a great day and have fun. And I just want to see somebody saved. Just want to see somebody saved. All right, Brother Julius, you pray for us. See, we got a couple of young people that have availed themselves of good water back there, and I'm glad we was able to get that taken care of. That old antique, it was time to go. So I'm glad the church approved that. We got that taken care of. All right, just a little bit. We will be meeting and have prayer. So see you in a few minutes.